Good morning and welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of our services last Sunday. One of the big highlights of our service last Sunday was that our service was led by Ross Robertson, one of our lay members who preached a dynamic sermon entitled No Fear. We also would invite you to join us live and in person at our church at 101 North Oak. This morning, we gather for worship at 10:30. Sunday school is at 9:30. Our sister church, Salem United Church of Christ, out on Highway K, has services at 8:30. And we'd certainly be glad, if you don't have a church home, to have you come and be with us. Thank you for listening.
Christ is with us. Christ is in our midst. Jesus, stand among us. Let this time of worship be hallowed. And our first hymn today is, It Is Well With My Soul.
Our children's time.
Okay, can you hold my hand? Okay, have you ever been scared before? Okay, maybe when it's dark outside, maybe if there's a big storm, the first day of school. Can you guys tell me some times that you've been scared? Y'all are just, okay, go ahead.
When I get hurt really bad.
When you get hurt really bad, okay, what else? What, Jonathan?
The first day of school.
The first day of school, okay. So, yes.
When you hear a big sound.
Okay. So, you want to see, what is this for?
A nightlight.
A nightlight. Good job. What is this for, though?
A nightlight.
A nightlight. Thank you, Jonathan. What is it for? Just talk. It's all good.
It's for a bedroom for a kid scared of the dark.
Perfect. Awesome. That's right. Okay. I know you all won't know what this is, and I don't know if Nora's loud. It is a necklace. Okay. This is Nora's great-grandma. Okay, it's a picture. She passed away. She was my grandma. And on the other side, it's her fingerprint. And so Nora wears this a lot. Obviously not now because I have it. But Nora and her Gigi were very, very close. And I know that Nora probably, and all my other children, think of my grandma when they get sad or when they're scared. And they just want to know that she's right there. Another thing, have you all ever heard of the kissing hand? Yeah, I knew you would hear it. Okay, do you know what the kissing hand is? You said the first day of school. Do you know what it is?
So the man kisses in the middle of your hand, and then
if you're scared at school, just rub it on your cheek.
I am impressed, Jonathan. That's exactly right. So when Nora was little, I would kiss her hand, and then when she was scared at school, she would put it on her face. I know I'm embarrassing her, so it's okay. Okay, hold my hand. So sometimes when we hold hands, like a parent or a nanny, because it feels safe, listen to what God has to say in the Bible. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you by the right hand. God is really holding our hand. That means we are never alone. When we feel scared, sad, or unsure, God is right there saying, "Don't be afraid. I got you." Just then, when grown-ups hold our hands so we don't fall, or hold us when things get hard. So this week, remember, if you're afraid or worried, God is with you, God is strong, and God is holding your hand. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving us and holding our hand when we are afraid. Help us remember you are always with us and protecting us. Amen.
Our scripture lessons are read by Mary Berger, followed by Ross Robertson's message for us entitled, No Fear.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Open our eyes, gracious Spirit, that we may see the wonderful things written for us in your word. Amen. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 41, verses 9 through 13. From far across the earth, I brought you here and said, "You are my chosen servant. I haven't forgotten you. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Don't tremble with fear. I am your God. I will make you strong as I protect you with my arm and give you victories. Everyone who hates you will be terribly disgraced. Those who attack will vanish into thin air. You will look around for those brutal enemies, but you won't find them, because they will be gone. I am the Lord your God. I am holding your hand, so don't be afraid. I am here to help you." Our second reading comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 13. "Always be glad because of the Lord. I will say it again, be glad. Always be gentle with others. The Lord will soon be here. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. With thankful hearts, offer up your prayers and requests to God. Then, because you belong to Christ Jesus, God will bless you with peace that no one can completely understand. And this peace will control the way you think and feel. Finally, my friends, keep your minds on whatever is true, pure, right, holy, friendly, and proper. Don't ever stop thinking about what is truly worthwhile and worthy of praise. You know the teachings I gave you and know what you heard me say and saw me do. So follow my example, and God, who gives peace, will be with you. The Lord has made me very grateful that at last you have thought about me once again. Actually, you were thinking about me all along, but you didn't have any chance to show it. I am not complaining about having too little. I have learned to be satisfied with whatever I have. I know what it is to be poor or to have plenty. And I have lived under all kinds of conditions. I know what it means to be full or to be hungry, to have too much or too little. Christ gives me the strength to face anything.
So today's sermon is entitled No Fear. Now, when I say the word no fear, I often go back to my childhood when there was a company that made heaps of money off the slogan no fear. And they said things like, second place is the first loser, losing is not an option. If we're keeping score, winning's the only thing. Now, admittedly, most of you that know me, those things all align very much with how I feel about sports, but not necessarily in what we're talking about today. You know, fear for us can come in many forms. A lot of times we think about fear of the big things, like being scared of heights, or snakes, or spiders, or as Annie said, the dark. There's a lot of things that we can be afraid of. But what I'm talking to you about today are these little things that are maybe disguised as caution. Maybe you're thinking about something, you've been thinking about it for a long time. Those types of micro fears can add up in your life. And they result in not necessarily caution, like a lot of times we think of these fears to be. I'm going to have more wisdom if I think a little longer about this. But I'm here to tell you today that those fears are not caution, that's captivity. See, fear can paralyze us in many ways. You know, whether it's standing out in your faith, or it may be making a big life decision, or maybe just having a tough conversation with someone that you love. There's a number of these things. I'm going to ask you to think about those today. But we're not going to focus on some promotional company and t-shirts today. We're going to focus on specific scripture. And for those of you that know me, I'm a very simple person. So we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And we're going to unpack this one a little bit. So that reads, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind." 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And the whole idea is that I want you to understand that fear does not come from God. That hesitancy you have in your life, that is not from God. He does not give us fear. But what he does give us is the power, love, and a sound mind so that we can live courageously. And the Bible talks about not being afraid and no fear over 100 times. I think when something's mentioned that often in a book that is as important to us as the Bible is, I think we should probably pay attention. So not being afraid. But let's talk about how fear creeps into your life on a daily basis. I call this the what-if spiral, and we'll talk about it. If you've ever lain in bed and maybe you had a bad day or a bad conversation or something that just didn't feel right, you often are thinking, what if I fail? What if it all falls apart? What if I'm not enough? What if I made the wrong decision? We paralyze ourselves, and that's what fear does, is fear steals our peace. It shrinks our courage, and it silences our calling. But today, we're going to anchor our hearts in a different type of reality. We're going to commit to knowing that fear is not from God, and that he has placed that power, love, and a sound mind in each and every one of us so that we can stand strong. If you think about Paul's letter to Timothy, it's very interesting to me because obviously Timothy, who's a very young pastor, he's under a lot of pressure and resistance and persecution. I mean, can you imagine? And Timothy's temperament, he's a little timid. You know, he believed in Christ. He believed in Jesus. He believed those things. But he was timid because he was preaching to a bunch of people trying to convince them otherwise. But this is where Paul comes in. Paul urges him to fan into the flame of the gift of God and not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. And that's in 2 Timothy as well, chapters 6 through 8. In that tension, Paul gives him an anchor. He says, fear is not from God, courage is. So as we walk through some of these stepping stones, the first of which, let's talk about fear not coming from God. So fear stops you from moving forward, it quiets your voice, and it makes God, your God-given purpose, feel a little smaller. It often pretends to be wisdom, but in reality, that's not wisdom, it's not caution, that's captivity. And the way I like to think about this is, every day we wake up and we go to work or we go about our daily responsibilities, and when you're wearing that fear, think of that as a backpack. And every single one of those bricks that you're putting in your backpack has something to do with those micro fears that you have in your mind. They may sound something like this, and this probably sounds familiar. I know it does to me. Failure, rejection, uncertainty, inadequacy. You name it, you're putting those fears in your backpack every single day you walk out the door. Now, if you have hundreds of these bricks, that backpack's going to feel a little heavier. And I think if Paul were to talk to you like he was talking to Timothy, he'd say something like this. Put the backpack down. God did not give you these things. You're wearing these things as a result of how you feel today, not how you will feel when you're in heaven. Take that backpack off, and you'll notice that all of a sudden you feel a little lighter. You're walking a little quicker. You're climbing a little higher. The weight has been lifted from you, and that's important. God did not give you those bricks. So work to take those out of your backpack. And in Scripture it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, it says very simply, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid. So as we think about what God has given us, the first of which is power. So God's given us the gift of power. And in this context, the word power comes from the word dunamis. And the word dunamis is the root word for dynamite. So different types of power, right? We have our self-power that we have here, which is more earthly based. We give ourselves some confidence walking out the door. That's okay. That gives you power as well. But when we talk about dynamite power, we're talking about spirit-empowered ability. So that's going to give us courage to act, strength to endure, and boldness to witness. And the best example of this is Peter. Before Pentecost, Peter was controlled by fear. He denied Jesus 3 times. He was a faithful follower, a disciple of Jesus, and still yet denied him 3 times. But what happened after he received the Holy Spirit? He stood before thousands and proclaimed Christ with boldness. And you can find that in Acts 2. So, same person, new power. It's all within you. That is dunamis. And I go back to the beautiful passage that Mary read, and it's something that I keep near and dear to my heart. It's, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So now we have power. We know fear doesn't come from God. We have power now to the confidence to make the right decisions. But we can't direct those decisions outward unless we have love. Because without love, power can be turned inward. With love, it transitions outward. Think about love like this. If you're going through your heart, kind of searching in your soul right now, you're thinking, you know what, I have power. I do have love. But what fear does to love is it shrinks it into self-preservation. What do I mean by that? And we've all gone through the motions in life where we wake up every day, we do the same thing over and over again, we end the day, good day, but yet we're just surviving. We're not thriving. So what love does is love enters your heart, that expands it. It expands it to God's purposes and others' good. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, perfect love drives out fear. So when you know you are fully loved by God, fear loses its grip. Your identity is secure and your future is held. Think about it from this perspective.
You're a firefighter, and you're heading towards a massive flame in a house. And you can look at that flame. You can be equipped with the power to put out the fire. But you look at the house and you say, "Woo, that's kind of scary. I don't know if I want to go in." But what love does for you, it says, "I know someone's in there that needs me. I've got to go inside." And so when you think about it from those terms, love doesn't erase the risk. There's still risk going into that house. But what it does is it overpowers that risk with purpose. I think if you look at that from your own perspective, it could be something very small in your life that you're scared to do, but you just don't have the love to overpower that with the purpose of God. So it moves us from self-protection, going through the motions of life, to now living a life of sacrificial action. Again, I'm not asking you to jump out of a plane and go skydiving tomorrow if you're scared of heights, but there are small things that you can start doing in your life today to shed the fear that you feel. In Romans chapter 8, verse 39 or 38, it says, "Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ." So now we're strong. We have a big heart that's going outward. And the last piece is our mind, because that can be the hardest thing to overcome. The self-doubt, the questioning, the, "Oh, maybe I'll get to that later" type of feel, the what-if monster that visits you every night while you're laying in bed. But what it means to be of sound mind is that now we're living a life disciplined, sober, steady thinking, clear under pressure. Fear's going to scramble you with the what-if spirals, but the Spirit steadies them in truth and peace. I think about this from an air traffic controller standpoint. It's a stormy evening, and there's lightning and thunder, and planes are circling the airport because they can't land. You're an air traffic controller, and you're sitting there. If you can't handle the pressure, chaos erupts, and potentially people could get hurt. But as an air traffic controller, you steady your mind, and you trust your instruments. You're guided by clear protocols, and every plane lands despite the storm. That's what a sound mind does for your soul. You see, fear is the turbulence and the lightning that we experience every day in our lives. But you have to look as your spirit is that control tower, giving you clarity and direction with everything around when everything around you feels out of control. So the storm may rage, but your mind can stay anchored in God's truth. Isaiah 26, chapter 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you." So fear doesn't come from God. Power, love, and a sound mind are the things that He gives us. So how do we put this into work outside of these doors? The very first thing, which is why I chose a very simple scripture for you to remember, is declare that. Declare that every day when those what-ifs pop up. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And the second one, you have to expose fear's lies, because fear is a liar. It is a stealer. It will steal from you. Identify where that fear has disguised itself as caution, whether it's sharing your faith, stepping into your calling, forgiving someone, or just taking a bold step in your life that you've been hesitant to do to this point. And then act in faith. Take one step today. Speak out where you've been kept silent. Do the thing God has placed in your heart. Show love where fear says stay back. Every act of faith confirms who you are in Christ. And when fear scrambles your thoughts, pause and say, "Lord, steady my mind in your peace." And replace those what-if spirals with, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you." And the last step is probably the hardest for us to take. It's almost like asking for directions, which I don't do very often. but share your bold step with some fellow believer, someone that's feeling the same way. Open up to them, talk to them, because courage grows in the presence of encouragement and accountability, and fear fades when we stand together in faith. So bring that truth to the light, because those lies can't handle that light. You are the light. If something's weighing heavy on your heart today, look around this congregation. You have plenty of individuals you can reach out to. Get over that fear. Make that phone call. Interview for that job. Make bold steps in your life. And again, they don't have to be huge ones. You don't have to jump out of planes or go start holding snakes. But identify those fears that are holding you back and lean on our Lord Jesus to help you through them with the power, love, and a sound mind his Father gives him. Please pray with me. Father, thank you that fear is not from you. Thank you for giving us the power to act, the love to serve, and a sound mind to think clearly. Holy Spirit, fill us now. Ignite our courage, deepen our love, and steady our thoughts. Jesus, be glorified as we step forward in faith. We trust you with everything that scares us. Lead us into bold obedience today, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Our last hymn for today is, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought. May the Lord, who has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, go with you as you leave this place. May his power strengthen you every step of the way. May his love guide your words and actions. May his peace steady your thoughts in every storm. Go in courage, go in faith, and go in confidence that Christ is with you always. And it's in his beautiful name we pray. Amen.